Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
744, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We're talking about the United States getting a hold on the coronavirus situation, and Elena Martin joins us now, analyst at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security and a research associate at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm well. I appreciate your time. I get some texts here occasionally from people who think they know better than the health experts, which I don't really understand, because If you thought you knew more than an electrician, why would you call an electrician to fix your house, right? And if you don't know, then you would pretty well take them at their word, wouldn't you? So when it comes to this, how important is it that you change the view of the denier or get them to accept this and do what they should do? Is that an important concern in all of this?
Sure. So I think, you know, it's great that people want to understand and are taking interest in what's going on, but there are public health experts and people who have spent a lot of time training and learning who ultimately care a lot about the well-being of people and communities. And so making sure that there's good, accurate information available, but also that it's presented in a way that's, you know, accessible to folks so that they're able to understand, and there'll always be differences of opinion, but making sure that, you know, the information that we're accessing is good and accurate and from reliable sources is really important during the pandemic.
You know, Doc, I hope you're right, but the texts I see are people that either they're trolling me or, and everybody that hosts a show here gets them. I mean, people have turned this political. I got somebody that is using socialism and communism interchangeably, which have nothing to do with the coronavirus. And I don't know how you would ever get through to somebody like that. Do you just hope that they don't do more damage in terms of not wearing a mask, those kind of things? Do you make it mandatory? Because I think, you know, I hope that's just a small, very, very small minority that feel that way. But it just seems like if we're going to get it under control, the first thing we have to do is before, Doc, you're way above this, but I'm going to say it anyway, okay? Before you can put a mask on somebody's face, they have to get their head out of their rear end, correct?
That is one way of thinking about it.
Yes.
But I think, you know, particularly with decisions around mask making, mask wearing, you know, there is a value in the United States is individualism. But, you know, every individual right now can make a decision to positively impact the direction that the pandemic is going. I think, you know, there are political differences. That's not, you know, we're not denying that. But there can be unifying, you know, beliefs and understandings that we all have a role to play, and that going forward, you know, we want schools to open safely. We want people to be able to return to their sense of normalcy and some of those fun daily activities. But in the current state, you know, that's not really possible. with the numbers of cases increasing. And so that's where, you know, this idea of interpersonal leadership, which is about building trust between the people who are putting out guidances and those members of the community. And so in Louisiana, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
I was going to say, in Louisiana, there is a mask order. So that does, there are policies which can increase the number of masks that are getting worn by people, and those would be mandates. But that's not the case in every place.
I want to take a break here early. It might be a little bit too early. Can we start with your summary of recommendations? Maybe we'll go through 1 through 3, and then we'll take a break and do the rest of them.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So we have a report about resetting the response in the U.S. to the COVID pandemic, and we have a series of 10 recommendations. And so kind of the first three that I'll talk about, one being encouraging and where appropriate, things like mask wearing, social distancing, limiting large gatherings in indoor spaces. So, you know, not having parties of 700 people in a house, that kind of a thing. Those are going to play a big role in reducing transmission. The second is on testing. You know, if someone is experiencing symptoms or has been exposed, we want them to be able to get a test and to be able to find out the results quickly so that they, if they need to isolate or if they need to, you know, contact people that they may have seen who may have been exposed, they can do that. And currently there are, you know, we've come a long way in terms of testing in the U.S., but there's still a good ways to go to make sure that people are getting those results quickly and not having to wait 7 days to find out their results. And then this, the third one I'll talk about is the idea of best practices in terms of the public health response. We've learned a lot thus far from COVID and have seen really incredible ways that public health and communities have stood up, you know, support mechanisms for people. And it's kind of the opportunity now as we're looking forward into the fall and schools opening in certain places that there we need to kind of take stock of those practices to find out, you know, what worked, what didn't work, and then how do we best communicate in a transparent way kind of what needs to happen going forward. So those will be the first three I'll talk about.
All right, we'll take a break, pick it up when we come back. 7:51, time for traffic on WWL. 55, Tommy Tucker talking to Dr. Elena Martin from the prestigious Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security and the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And I sincerely apologize for the crudity before about the mask. You are way above that, Doctor. I just get so frustrated sometimes because we all need to do what we need to do to get this behind us. So please accept my apologies for that. When it comes to testing, if I might be able, and looking at the clock here, to get as much of this as we can in, what can we do to get testing done and get the results done in a timely manner so that we can then affect some type of contact tracing that means something?
Sure. So, you know, when we're thinking about testing, we're looking at the supply chains for testing, and you know that may not be the specific, just the specific technology. So you need the machine, right, to be able to run the test, but you need the swabs to be able to, you know, obtain the specimen. You also need the healthcare providers and workers who are adequately protected to perform the test. So there's, you know, there's a lot of different moving parts right now, and there are different tests available, and so we really need to take stock of, you know, what is the supply chain look like? Where are there currently gaps that are slowing down? And then how can our states and commercial laboratories work together so that we can turn around test times quicker and get people their results when they need them?
If we do, then do we have the contact tracers in place for this? And is there a magic number after, I don't know, tipping point of 4 days, 5 days? After that, it's really no use in terms of contact tracing the results?
Sure. So, you know, ideally you'd like to have your test results within 24 to 48 hours, 72 hours really being that outer limit where it could be useful for contact tracers. You know, contact tracing can always be performed. But in order to, you know, really be effective and make sure that, you know, let's say you got a test today, and then you didn't get your results back for 7 days, you know, you may have been exposed again. So even though you have that negative test result, you could have been exposed in the meantime. And so, to give the contact tracers the best chance of identifying additional cases, you want those test results. Ideally, you're talking 24 to 48 hours.
So before we let you go, in terms of your recommendations and what we're doing now, I don't know how to make an index of this. If using all 10 of these in the best way that we possibly can would be a 10 and zero would be doing nothing. Where do you think we are in terms of our reaction in the United States now?
You know, I think that going with the recommendations, we have kind of little bits and pieces of each of them that are being worked on. But in terms of how, you know, transparent those things are, for example, with supply chains, do healthcare facilities know about those supply chains? In terms of things like mask wearing, it's, you know, it's not evenly distributed around the U.S. You know, ideally you'd want in areas where there's, you know, community transmission that everybody would be wearing a mask, and there are definitely mandates for those. So, you know, we have little bits and pieces, and it's just at this point, I think it's coming together and kind of putting all of those things in motion so that we can really get control of what's going on and protect people and communities.
I appreciate your time. I really do, and I hope you'll come back on with us. Elena Martin, analyst at the prestigious Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security and a research associate at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll talk about...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.